Yeah, good evening and welcome. Hopefully you can stay with me for another 20 minutes here, 30 minutes. It's good to be here, and I'm excited tonight. I'm excited about marriage. I'd like to take a raise of hands on who thinks marriage is under attack. So we all agree. In the introductions, I thought of something that there's some of you that are maybe in a really strong season of marriage. Others may be looking for encouragement. But whatever and wherever you are, I believe what we're talking about tonight applies to all of us. Preparing for this has already been deeply soul-searching for myself. Intimacy with God and how that affects our marriage. When we see a common enemy, hopefully we can lock arms with other fellow believers, other Christians, and push forward for the kingdom. It's bigger than just our marriage. It's even bigger than that. It's for the kingdom of God and what it represents. I thought about recently, someone told me that redwoods have a root system that goes down and out, and they lock together. And it's what gives them tremendous strength against storms and fire, and they live to be years and years and years old because of that. And tonight, as I thought of that, if we can lock together in a marriage like that and Christ is the center of it, it's unbelievable what God can do for us and through us. And again, is like David said, is there not a cause bigger than even just ours? Isn't there a bigger picture of what God has for us? When I started dating Shar, I was in a place where I had been born again, and I would say I drifted in between my baptism and when I got married, and the closer I got to engagement and getting married, the more God spoke to my heart. And this thought came to me one night that really just really, really hit home to me, and that is that someday I'm going to stand before God with my wife, who I love dearly. My choices as a husband, and same this goes in reverse as well, really do have an impact on your significant other. So important. So that kind of changed. I made some changes, and I don't regret that. It was a new beginning and a recommitment. Tonight, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And in context of that scripture, the church there is kind of slipping away from God. And I think in our walk with God, that happens, doesn't it? It happens to us with what was mentioned tonight already about being busy. It happens gradually and slowly. We don't make the time to pursue and draw close to God sometimes. Or maybe we try to, but we other things take precedent. What is intimacy? In the context of what I'd like to share tonight, the definition that I kind of chose that I like is to be known, to fully know, and to be fully known, fully found out, completely open, transparent, the way that God sees us already that way. Have you ever thought about God as knowing everything about, he knows everything about us? Psalm 139, 1 through 4, kind of basically says God knows everything about us already. And we know he does, every detail, and he cares. How much do we know him? How well do we know God? And many of you, or maybe all of us, we do. We love God. We want to pursue him. And sometimes God can feel distant, at least in my life. And what are we doing in the pursuit of having a closer relationship with God? There's some practical things that I'd like to talk about tonight. But do you view God as a judge, or do you view him as somebody that you can be close with? I have a tendency to view God as a distant, maybe a little bit distant. Is that how it is for you sometimes? Do you really think of God as your friend? Do you bring things to him first, or are our prayers really formal and too polished maybe sometimes? I don't know. It's a question. But I think God desires to know us closer than just a God up there that's looking down. I think he wants to really know us. I think he really wants to understand us. And I know he does, but do we pursue and share? God already knows us completely. Intimacy grows as we know him more. So the thought of intimacy tonight is pursuing God with all our hearts and knowing him and sharing with him everything that we have on our hearts. Share it practically and openly. Psalm 22 opens, and that psalm is David. It opens with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I'm transitioning a little bit into how we can feel in different stages of our walk with God and why it's so important. Sometimes when we're in our spiritual life, in my spiritual life, we tend to have times where maybe God feels distant. Do you ever have that in your life? You're pursuing God, you want to have that relationship and your personal devotions or whatever, but he feels a little distant. Does that ever happen to you? It does to me. And in this psalm, it looks like it's happening to David, because he's sharing. And if you read that psalm, I don't think I'll take the time to read the entire psalm, but David feels abandoned. He feels like God is silent. And he goes through the psalm, but towards the end of the psalm, he brings praise in again. He comes full circle and he praises God. And I think God wants to have that. I really think God wants you and I to bring those feelings to him more. Maybe more, a little bit more than what, at least what I do. My encouragement tonight is that as you think about God and as you try to draw closer to him, even just this weekend, that you can share how you feel with him in a deep way. More than just a prayer, maybe even in a personal, just like you'd be talking to a friend. I think marriages, probably most marriages here, if not all marriages, at some point face a little bit of a Psalm 22 season, where maybe we feel a little bit distant, and it takes pursuit again, takes effort to share our feelings and our thoughts. Distance happens, stress happens. Some of you mentioned being really busy. I think all of us can relate to that. Sometimes we're busy, and that happens too. But David, in this psalm, spoke really honestly before God, and that's what an intimate relationship is. There's honesty there. There's a sharing of our feelings, our hearts. In marriage, sometimes you'll feel overwhelmed, probably, distant. What do we do in those seasons? Do we stay and pursue? And how are we doing when that happens in our relationship with God? What do we do in those times? I think pursuit, when does pursuit matter most, especially to God? When does it matter the most that you really pursue God? Isn't it when, usually when things are going really well, it's easy, you don't have to pursue, it's almost natural. I go through seasons in my personal devotions where God, I feel really inspired and I'm excited about having time with God in the morning. But then I'll go through times when it doesn't quite feel as exciting, and I'm not always sure why sometimes. But those are the times we really dig in. If we want to have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, those are the times we need Him most. You ever think about that. And in your marriage, those are the times that pursuit matters most too, when you feel a little bit distant. Covenant love pursues even when it's quiet or feels distant. Marriage mirrors God's love. Jesus quoted Psalm 22 on the cross. God keeps pursuing us. So no matter what we do, God keeps pursuing us. And I think to have a relationship with him, my encouragement is that we pursue him. We just continue and continue and continue to pursue God. And our feelings will get in the way of that sometimes. But if I can encourage that tonight, pursue God no matter what, wherever you are in your marriage. The invitation in James 4, verse 8, there, the beginning of that verse, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And then that's the first part of the verse. The rest of the verse, he's talking to the church. And again, in context, the church there was slipping away pretty majorly. There was some pretty big problems there. And his encouragement, or the promise within even these problems within the church, was that draw near to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And isn't that how it is in our life and the problems we have? That's a promise that we can take, but there is a part to play there. God is always available, and intimacy is not automatic. A barrier to intimacy, there's two barriers I'd like to know about, I'd like to mention briefly, and I believe we all know this, but disobedience, that blocks that relationship. Disobedience and sin, kind of the same thing, I guess. But God's word is the roadmap, and I just want to, I think that's known. I mean, that's something that we all know, but I want to share that again. It's if there's things in your life, that's where we have to start. No matter where you are in life, for a relationship to really happen and to be restored and to have that closeness, that those things have to be taken care of. Whatever God has brought to your heart. 1 John 2, verse 3, I'd like to turn to that. 1 John 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So keeping God's commandments and being obedient to his will, sin in the garden is what caused that separation. It still does today in our lives. If our lives aren't clear, if our conscience isn't clear, we really can't move on to have a really close relationship with God. Jesus is in the business of restoring relationship. So when we have a good relationship there and that relationship's restored with our Heavenly Father, it goes a really long ways in our marriage if we're struggling. And if we're not, even if we're having a good marriage, a continued pursuit of God, there's always more, it seems like. There's always more. I'm sure I've been married 6 years, I think, 6 or 7. And I know there's people that have been married a lot longer here, and there's just more, isn't there? Is that how it is for you that have been married 30 and 40 years over here? There's always more. God, I think, is the same way, isn't he? There's always more. We'll never fully get to that. The next point I had like to share, an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father takes vulnerability, I think. I think it takes honesty in our lives and how we feel. And I thought about this for a while. God already knows everything about us. So do we have to be vulnerable with God when we pray? What does it matter? How does it matter? And do we do that? Do we practice praying in a way where our feelings are shared to our Heavenly Father? And does that do anything for us when he already knows them anyways? And the answer to that, I think, at least relating to my own life, there's a healing mechanism there. When we share, when we pray, and we share how we feel to our Heavenly Father, something happens inside our hearts. God can minister to that need. He can minister to how you feel. And I've experienced it. I know it's real. The Bible's chock full of it. David, the Psalms, how many of those were them crying out to God? Really read the Psalms that way, and Job, he lamented. Elijah went out in the wilderness. I think it was Elijah. He was depressed, and he just wanted to die, and God came and ministered to him, and he shared his feelings different times. It requires, so back to the definition of knowing and being known. When we're vulnerable with someone, we let them know how we feel. We let them know our hearts. Not just through words, but they know our hearts. They know how we feel inside. And I think even though God already knows that, pouring that out to him really restores a relationship with him. I think it draws us to him in a way that it's surprising. There's restoration there. There's peace there. So if you've not done this before, I know we've all prayed, but there's something that I had done more, that I've started to do more recently that has really meant a lot to me, and I'd like to share it with you. But it's basically to talk a little more honestly with God. And by that I mean when I have these emotions that come into my heart, whether they're good or bad, maybe it's anger, maybe it's discouragement, but tell God about that in just like you would tell yourself. or just like you would tell someone that you really, really care about or love and trust. You would say, you know, whatever might have happened, and you would say, God, I feel angry. I feel discouraged. I feel lost. There's a situation in front of me that I have no idea what to do with. Sharing these things in that way, whether it's in the truck, on the road by yourself, or wherever it is, there's something that happens that draws us to God when we do that, versus just a prayer. And the Bible's full of it. I mean, the Bible is very full of people doing that. I encourage that. I think in at least for me, I don't feel like I've really practiced that a whole lot. I tend to have more formal prayers and view God a little bit distant. So the key to that is to really draw close to God through that. Try that as a way to share your feelings with your Heavenly Father. Who cares? David, Job, Jeremiah, Jesus. Think about that. Jesus Christ on this. What did he say in the garden? He poured out his heart the way he felt in that moment. If he did it, then how much more should we? And how Jesus drew strength from that, I think we'll draw strength from that too. I know we will. God is not intimidated by our honesty or by how we feel. I don't think he is. I think when we do that with the right heart posture, there's nothing we can bring to God that he doesn't understand. It does require pursuit. It does require time. So intimacy requires effort, pursuit, and time. Some people mentioned time here this evening. Probably something we all face, for sure for me too. It is easy to not have time. There's a lot of things that are trying to get your attention tonight. We talked about an enemy that is there. We all agreed that our marriage is under attack. One of the ways it is through all these things, these distractions that in and of themselves aren't that bad, but they come and they steal away our time and our attention. So pursuit is a big part of a relationship with God and then with your spouse. But pursuit takes time and energy, again, as mentioned. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Seek me with all your heart." Pursuit should be daily. It's not passive. Remember when you were dating, was that an afterthought? Ever. It was never an afterthought. It was, I mean, you know, any opportunity to pursue, and that's, if we can do that in our, no matter how long we're married, if we can do that with our Heavenly Father, the overflow of that in our marriage is powerful. I've experienced it. Consistent, creative. I don't know, some of us are more creative than others, but being creative shows a pursuit effort, and it shows that there's somebody or something that holds a special spot in your brain, in your world, that you take the time to pay attention to. You take the time to do this right. We pursue God through His Word, prayer, worship, and obedience. And one more thing in relation to pouring our hearts out to God in a vulnerable, open way, the way that David does in the Psalms, just right how it feels. He says, all my enemy, you know, just however it is, whatever that is for you, that's been powerful for me, and I'd encourage you to do that. The other thing is silence. What we just experienced for a second there, just silence. In our world of everything, phones, calls, texts, emails, WhatsApp, social media, everything. How much time can you look back on a week and find any gaps of time where you were just silent? I have done that and been surprised at the limited amount of silence that's in my life. That is a place where God can speak to you and I when we're quiet. It's not just all about sharing how we feel. That's a huge part of it. It's also taking the time to just be still and think about God. And that takes concentration and effort. I have done this, and I want to get back to doing it again. I was inspired again to do it, but I went to a men's retreat where we would write a question that we had in our life, and we would go, and it was just a time of silence where we prayed about the question. And don't look. So you can write a question down. Maybe there's a question you're thinking about right now in all the different stages of life, wherever you are, and you're not sure about it. And there's a lot of those things. Write it down on a piece of paper. Ask God, how should I handle this? How can I handle this? And don't look for an answer right away, but just go back to that question. In silence, after prayer, before God. And it's amazing how in the months to come, when we think and we pursue and we create that quiet time, how God reveals Himself to us. He gives a little prod, or somebody says something that just pushes you in that direction, and you see it as an answer. But do you get the idea here in marriage and in our relationship with God, how it takes some effort, it takes some time, and I need encouraged all that. I just need that encouragement from others, because I find it's more like this. It's not just consistent, my pursuit. Practical ways that I just mentioned, we use those. Those things will overflow into our marriage as well. If your spouse is something special to you, you'll surely take the time. Surely the world and your job and everything around you, surely it won't take away from your time that you have with her or him. But it does, doesn't it? We take each other for granted, so we need reminded. And God's the same way. I just hope that in igniting a little spark tonight, if nothing else, a little spark to ignite, that you could go here from here and again just remember how awesome God is, how fun it is to pursue Him, and the things that He reveals to us, and how that'll affect your marriage, no matter where it is. That's really, really getting down to what'll happen when we do this properly, when our life is right before God, when we pursue Him, and when He's constantly there in the front of our mind, and we're constantly going to Him. There's a transformation that starts to happen. And I don't think it really ever quits. After you start to transform, like Corinthians said, you'll have the fruits of the Spirit that'll overflow into your marriage. They'll overflow into other relationships too, way beyond your marriage even. But when we have that connection with God, and again, we should never feel like it's always going to be close, perfect. But that should be the pursuit. There should be effort to go there. And it'll have a huge impact on your marriage. I've experienced it. I know many of you have as well. Love. I like to think of love a little bit. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Marian mentioned love a little bit. When our Heavenly Father, when God's love comes into our hearts, it's so amazing how you see people differently. Have you experienced that in your life? You see people differently. God's love comes into our heart, it transforms us, and we look through to people differently. There's a love for their soul, their well-being. You see the value in a human being when God's love is in your heart. And that is something that it takes some of the... I tend to be so selfish with what I need. God's love takes some of that self out, and it puts His love in there, and we see our spouse differently. We just see them a little differently. We respond differently. It gives us joy. This relationship with God will give us joy. And the fruits of the Spirit, there's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. As we work on our relationship personally with our Heavenly Father, as whichever spouse it is that you find yourself tonight, if you even separately, just take inventory of your personal walk and where it is and how you can build it, and take some time to think about it. Even if it's just for the next 2 or 3 weeks to jumpstart this, to get a spark going again, think about your time, your week, what all's going on, and see if you can figure out a way to practice a little bit in the coming days. And look at the fruits of the Spirit. There's so many of them there, and there's so much that we can look at and become overwhelmed. Maybe just pick one. Maybe just pick one that you really want to work on, and maybe take that one and make it a focus for the next week or two. Ask God how you can do it in your marriage. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's humility. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe it's peace. Whatever it is, find the time to do that in your marriage. I also think, you know, if it's really, really important tonight, and I know we all know this, I just feel led to share it again. Our world is so much bigger than just you and I, like me and my wife. It's when we start to condense our world to how she makes me feel and he makes me feel, the back and forth, we can lose sight of the bigger picture of why we're here, God that created us, and the Satan that's trying to come in and destroy this union, this home. And sometimes if we step back and we look at the bigger picture and what Satan's trying to do with marriage, how he's trying to destroy it, and the power in a good marriage, and we work on our relationship with God, we look inward, not outward quite as much. You know, it's so exciting that there's young couples here, there's older couples here. It's so exciting that you're here because it's so important, like was mentioned, for society, but for the kingdom of Christ. Like David said, you know, is there not a cause? There's a bigger picture that we're all being a part of here, and God, I think, wants you and I in our marriages. He certainly wants us to have a blessed and beautiful marriage, I believe. But there's actually even a bigger war, a bigger thing going on than just, there's actually a kingdom that is, two kingdoms that are fighting for your time, your soul, your attention to tear you apart. And when you can see that common enemy, then our roots can, like the redwoods, go out and lock together against that enemy that's trying to destroy us. And it might make some of the things we look at each other about look a little smaller. Because eternity is, our feelings are important, but maybe just take a look at the bigger picture and what it represents. God longs to be known. He created us with that desire to know Him. And as we do that, amazing things will happen in your marriage. Intimacy grows through pursuit. Just kind of recapping a few things here. Grows through pursuit. It grows through effort. So I, 6 months ago, I think it was September 25, not quite 6 months ago, because it's still March 31st, I made a commitment to have my personal devotions before work every single day for the next 6 months. And what that requires sometimes is the night before, it actually requires some forethought. If you're going somewhere, like even being here, but that is what I'm talking about in our relationship with God. When you can have some forethought and when you value that time enough to put effort into it beforehand and make a commitment and to come before God, and He sees that effort and He meets us where we are, and it's amazing. And if that's the spark I can leave with you tonight, no matter where you are in your marriage, take some time to evaluate. Last week, was there silence where God could speak? Did you have time to meditate on God and his and did you share your heart with Him? As we do this, and many of you, I'm sure, have experienced it, we will be transformed into His image more and more. The depth of our intimacy with God, I think, sets the ceiling for our intimacy in our marriage. Is that true, you think? You really think that's accurate? Can we go beyond that and have a really deep marriage if we're not fully connected with God? I think it becomes very difficult many times. And I think it does set the ceiling for a godly home. And one step towards God this week, one intentional pursuit. Maybe this weekend take some time to think, I'm so guilty even just this weekend. I was thinking about the marriage seminar and everything else, and tomorrow's Valentine's Day. It's not easy, but we always have the opportunity to do better. But take the time to think about where you're at with God, how you're pursuing Him, and what you're doing in your personal life in relation to your Heavenly Father, who has empowered to love. That's where all the power comes from, isn't it? It's all coming from there. It's the most important thing we can do in our lives and in our marriages is to pursue God with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That's my encouragement tonight, and I can testify and I can give testimony to that working in my life and the joy it brings and the beauty it is when God shows you truths after you pursue Him, and it's never ending. It's on and on and on, and it'll affect your marriage. My prayer tonight is just that whether you know God deeply right now or whether you're in a season, a Psalm 22 season, that a spark could be in your heart tonight and you would pursue Him, continue to pursue Him. If you're distant, that you would just put the effort forth and tell God that. I don't feel close. Can you draw near to me? Can you help me? Can you give me peace? And how can I walk closer with you? I can testify to that affecting my marriage in a big way. There's practical things you can do with your spouse in pursuit as well. One thing I think of that has helped us tremendously, or something that we've enjoyed and loved, is to pray. You know, we talked about the common enemy, and we pray for each other. But that maybe lay your hands on your spouse and pray against Satan, against that common enemy, against the powers of darkness, in Jesus' name. And do that to each other, and some of our differences start to look a little smaller, don't they, when we really see this big picture, and God's love comes into our hearts. There's things to work through. We all have different stories and backgrounds, and I don't know where you are. I just pray the Holy Spirit could speak to you tonight, to look inward and upward, and let that spark be ignited for the coming weeks, and watch how it changes your marriage, or continues to maybe it doesn't need change, but it will continue to encourage and inspire and be a blessing to each other and to the kingdom. That's I think that's all I have tonight. So I'll turn the time back over to Marianne.